Welcome again. It's so nice to see faces, because all I see is a camera. Real live people here. Yay. So the CSL, the Centers for Spiritual Living, of which we are a part here at Foothill, the monthly theme this month has been all about faith and facing our fears. And today's topic is just do it. Just do what? Well, you'll find out. Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith says, when we have an intention around an outcome before we have physical evidence of it, that is called faith. That is called conviction. That is called mystical sight. That is called oneness with the presence. Faith. And think about it, aren't there many stories of things that were not believed possible at one time? The sub-4-minute mile, a 2-hour marathon, spontaneous remission of diseases, walking on the moon. Each of these old beliefs was proved possible by someone who had such faith in their ability for the impossible that nothing could sway them. If it is said that faith can move mountains, is it the faith itself, or is it the faith moved through the faithful being? That's kind of a little riddle, isn't it? And I believe when faith inspires us, we are called into action of some sort. And that could be prayer, forgiveness, gratitude, a service to others, or some other creative action. And I'm going to talk about action today. But I want you to notice, and Reverend Maggie's been talking about this, do you tend to have more faith in the negative than you do in the possibilities? Are you constantly saying, oh, everything's in a bad way, there's so much division, it's always going to be this way? Well, yes, things are happening. And metaphysics 101, what we put our attention on grows. That's the law. That's just the way it is. So if we keep talking about what's wrong, guess what? So why don't we instead find what's right and lean in that direction? Wouldn't you rather lean in the direction of what you do want with faithful anticipation that something good is going to happen? What if there's a song of joy and harmony singing at the center of your being and you can't hear it because you're always complaining? So we have to do some self-observation in order to become familiar or notice something. We have to spend time observing it. Dr. Joe Dispenza says we go from a doer to a doer-watcher, which we also hear as witness consciousness, right? So as a former professional dancer, when I would videotape, or our choreographer would videotape us in rehearsal so we could look at ourselves and see where we needed to improve our technique and what we needed to make adjustments on to be stronger and clearer, just like athletes do, right? So we listen or we watch ourselves. Because once we observe and are mindful of our old patterns, as we grow in consciousness, Dr. Joe says, we can observe ourselves so precisely that we won't allow any unconscious thought, behavior, or emotion go unnoticed. Think about that. And don't you notice that as you're growing in your evolution and your awareness, that you can shift your attention pretty quickly and not go down that rabbit hole? Thank goodness we have those tools. So we look at ourselves and decide, what do I want to change in order to get a better result? What do I want to or need to change in order to have a better world that I'm living in? Because the point is, when we block, hinder, or are outside of the flow of faith, the flow of possibilities, we stagnate rather than flourish and thrive. We close the door to our possible good when we lose faith. Faith is our anchor. The Christian Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Judaism teaches that action is what counts, not merely intention. In Science of Mind, we say treat and move your feet. Just do it. Do the thing you're called to do and have your faith. Think about it. If you want a flourishing vegetable garden, you plant your seeds, and then you walk away and you don't water it, you don't pay attention to it, what's going to happen? That vegetable garden is going to wither and die, and you're not going to have any yummy food. So we have to act. We have to act. And action is vital to our faith. The law of circulation, we've heard about that, requires both an inward and an outward-focused activity. Yes, we continue to do our prayer work and be spiritually motivated. Yes, we say God's got this. And we can also be socially engaged and take appropriate action when necessary. It's kind of a both-and involvement. I don't know about you, but I've been noticing that this current time we're living in is kind of a wake-up call. Anybody?
Yeah.
In so many ways. It's like the light on our dashboard telling us, engine trouble, maintenance required. My car right now has maintenance required. I get so nervous driving, and I just know I need an oil change. But that's what's going on. You know, have you noticed where there's a lot going on? I said to my yoga class the other day, it takes a lot of courage and faith right now to not fall apart. Yeah, it does, because there's a lot going on. So we have to look, though, at our individual consciousness around it all, because there's a responsibility part there. So I ask you to take a breath and ask yourself, where is there unrest in me? Where am I divided? Where is there a virus of fear in me? Because if we're not willing to be the peace we want to see, to be the love we want to experience, to be the harmony that is our natural birthright, what are we creating? I believe we do have an opportunity now to weed out those old beliefs and fears that just don't serve us. In Science of Mind, we say, there's a power for good in the universe, and we can use it. Are you using it? Our beloved founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote so many good books, and most of the quotes I'm going to give today are written probably from the 1940s on. And they're so apropos still today. Timeless. Ernest said, new arts, new sciences, new philosophies, better government, and a higher civilization wait on our thoughts. The infinite energy of life and the possibility of our future evolution work through our imagination and our willingness. The time is ready. The place is where we are now. And it is done unto all as they really believe and act. It is done unto us as we believe. We hear that all the time, too. And in our Science of Mind textbook, page 160, Ernest says, one cannot be a good student of the science of mind who is filled with fear and confusion. You must keep yourself in a state of equilibrium, in a state of poise, peace, and confidence, in a state of spiritual understanding. By spiritual understanding is not meant anything strange or unnatural, but merely that the belief in goodness must be greater than any apparent manifestation of its opposite. That's metaphysics 101, too. I think I should say that one again, in case you missed it. The belief in goodness must be greater than any apparent manifestation of its opposite. So it's again, what are you looking at? What are you looking with? It is this science of faith, he said, we are seeking to uncover. A definite technique that will conduct our minds through a process of thought, if necessary, to that place which the great minds of all ages have reached through direct intuition. We should be careful, he said, not to divide our mental house against itself. Having announced the law of liberty, we must not deny it. When we shall all know the truth, then the ways and the means and the methods will be found for the freedom for all. Within us is the unborn possibility of limitless good. Thank you, Ernest. As my colleague, Reverend Sarah Nichols, says, stop coping, and start voting. Voting, oh, have you heard? There's an election coming up. We're all laughing. But voting is simply a choice we make. And we vote and choose every day for something, don't we? We're always choosing something. Always, like moment by moment. You're going to choose where you sat in the sanctuary today. You're going to vote with what you're going to have for lunch today. You're voting and choosing every day. So we can choose or vote to be kind. We can choose or vote to be peaceful or forgiving. Just kind of notice, what are you voting with in your life? Ernest Holmes always talked about being for something, not against something. Being for something has power. He says the power of choice, which we have been greatly endowed, is either our greatest blessing or our greatest curse. Properly understood, it can lift us to the heights. Misunderstood, it can drag us to the depths. We are free to choose anything we wish, but we must accept the responsibility for our choices, because the law will always create our experience according to our choices. The law always says yes, we hear that. It's the universal law. Another one of my colleagues, Tracy Brown, who is a practitioner in Dallas, asks this: do your words and actions indicate that your daily vote is for humanity, to support people, programs, policies, and practices that lead to the revelation of truth and the elimination of discord? With your words and actions, are you voting each day for heaven on earth or something less? Just notice. She says, acting from our spiritual nature is naming a condition and then setting an intention for a change in the condition that aligns with the nature of God. Period. Being guided by spiritual principle and practice, doing what is necessary to reveal the truth. There is nothing to be healed, only the truth to be revealed. Poverty, racism, homophobia, gender inequality, global warming are like the disease of cancer in the collective body of humanity right now, she says. Acknowledge it. And then align with the appropriate spiritual qualities, evaluate possible actions, choose which strategies will result in revealing the spiritual truth, and be an active participant in co-creating the desired outcome. Yeah, I like that. It's motivating. Speaking of motivating, I'm impressed that the Centers for Spiritual Living actually have a committee called Spiritually Motivated Social Engagement Committee. Did you get that? Spiritually Motivated Social Engagement Committee. And they came out with a wonderful voter guide fascinating thing to think about how we do vote for anything. And it starts with the Centers for Spiritual Living vision. And I'm going to read the vision, and I want you to hear it and see if that would be your check too. Yeah, I believe that, or that's my vision too. Just kind of make your little check marks and just see. It might all not agree with you, it all might, I don't know, but just kind of internally do it yourself. Do your checklist. So CSL's vision, summary. We see a world that works for everyone, where all life is honored as expressions of the divine, where people live according to spiritual truth, where unity and connection is emphasized, where humanity awakens to spiritual magnificence, where humanity rediscovers personal creative power, where we live as one global family, where kinship with all life prospers, where spiritual guidance is valued, where we are called to conscious social action, where people have enough food, homes, and a sense of belonging, where forgiveness is the norm, where there's peace, harmony, and justice for all, and where resources are valued, cared for, and shared, where communities are meaningfully involved in service to the world. Ah. So when you go to fill out a ballot, you can look at, for instance, a ballot measure or a proposition, and you can ask yourself, does this ballot measure or proposition express and reflect the values of CSL and myself, and its vision of a world that works for everyone? Is it a positive direction for everyone in my community? You can just ask yourself that. And your heart will tell you. Your heart will tell you. And then you look at the slate for candidates. And that could be, they say, from city council all the way to president. Which of these candidates for this position best align with values consistent with those of myself and CSL and a vision of a world that works for everyone? So you just ask yourself that. And then they say, before submitting your ballot, just review and make sure you're at peace with whatever decision and vote you do. Just be at peace with it. I like that. Can you vote from that place? From your heart. Whatever that is for you. Ernest says, it's quite a burden lifted when we realize we do not have to move the world. The world's going to move anyway. The realization does not lessen our duty or our social obligation. It clarifies it. It enables us to do joyously and free from heaviness that which we should do in the social state. Treat and move your feet. Stop coping, start voting. Just do it. And maybe just do something that you're inspired to do. I recently took a class through CSL with about 200 other practitioners that I was very, not real excited to take the class. I must say I had some resistance. And it was called Me and White Supremacy. And the book invited us, it was a 6-week course, to do a lot of writing and to really delve into things that I don't think are my problem. It doesn't have anything to do with me, and yet it had a lot to do with me. And I learned so much about the privileges that I have by the color of my skin. And even though I kind of knew about other, like, racism and things and discrepancies, it wasn't my problem. So I didn't really do much, and I shut it off. But studying this book opened me to forgiving myself, forgiving my upbringing, and doing a lot of work around understanding that there's something going on that needs to be healed. And although I'm not one to go out and protest, although I would, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what action to take. And I did some prayer work around it, and I was inspired to simply give a financial contribution. And I picked three organizations that I contributed financially to that I felt were really doing the work. And it felt so good to do something instead of just saying it's not my problem. So I just encourage you, if you're feeling motivated, there is something you can do. And when I say just do it, please don't say, I don't know what to do. Go within, ask yourself at a quiet spot, what is mine to do? How can I support? How can I serve? And you will be guided, just as I was, in whatever way that is for you. Because we're all needed right now to do the lift off, right? To be the uplift. Because when we're truly doing our work in consciousness, all the votes we make every day, all the choices we make, change our physical environment. That's a foundational brick in our philosophy, that our mental power can and does change our physical experience, our physical outcome. Our thoughts change, and that leads to new beliefs. New beliefs drive new behaviors. New behaviors repeated become new habits, and new habits will generate a new experience of life. Therefore, just as we embody wholeness, harmony, and peace, we're compelled to give that out into the world. So let's affirm together. Repeat after me if you like. Today I act in ways, that affirm the inherent goodness of all. Again, today I act in ways that affirm the inherent goodness of all. Take that in. And you will each be guided in whatever way that is for you. I know that. I trust that. So I'm going to close with a story. And this is from an article written by Hank Wesselman, who some of you may know. He's an American anthropologist and spiritual author. And this is from his book called A Bowl of Light. He writes about a well-known Hawaiian story referring to this bowl of light. And it was told to him by his Hawaiian elder friend that he befriended, he called Nakua. After a long afternoon of conversation peppered with humor and goodwill, Makua presented me with a gift, a beautiful wooden bowl. "This is your bowl of light," he said. "Each of us comes into the world from the great beyond with our bowl of light, a gift from our Amakua, or our higher self. We Hawaiians," he said, "know this light is conveyed into us from our very first breath, which we call the Ha, the divine breath of life. This light then resides within us, nourishing and sustaining us as we pass through life until it returns to its source at life's end." Makua considered the bowl thoughtfully. "Whenever we step into negative polarity, however, whenever we injure others through our deeds, our words, or our thoughts, it is as though we put a stone in the bowl, and some of our light goes out. Slowly, as our bowl fills with stones, our light dims until it is nearly gone. Hopefully, we discover this before it turns dark. Judgments, resentments, anger. And you know, know what we do then? We dump it out. He laughed and laughed. And you know what? We start over. We start over then. But from that time forward, things are different, he said. It is then that we begin to live our lives with greater awareness. It is then that we begin to walk our path toward the luminous wisdom of our destiny. Your bowl of light. What's in it? I believe somewhere hidden behind the smoky haze we've had, behind the COVID fear, behind any anxiety of an upcoming election, there is that light within each of you. There's that light that is brighter than any darkness or any fear. So let's make it a practice to every day dump your bowl, let it go, and commit to your practices, commit to your faith, commit to your trust in the greater good. Let us vote daily to be compassionate, forgiving, kind, and envision a world that does work for everyone. Are you willing?
Yes.
Are you going to vote for that? Please? Just do it. Please. Yeah. Let's take that into prayer. How good it is to simply remember in this perfect moment the one power, one presence, one infinite source of energy called God, Spirit, creative energy, divine creator, source, any name you choose, open to that omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent energy of God. Moving in and through me, moving in and through each of you, we are each individualized expressions, instrument of this beautiful, infinite intelligence. And knowing today that we have opened our heart to the possibility of service, of giving and receiving, practicing the law of circulation so that we lift our world, we open our world to the greater good, letting go of the lesser to claim the greater. I know for each of us today that there has been something that has maybe ignited a thought, an idea for you, of your action, whatever that might be. And I'm so grateful that we have come together to be in the presence, to listen, to be receptive. And I know that whatever is going on in your life, if there's a physical, mental, emotional block, that it is removed right now through this word of wholeness, of healing, of power, of flow, that we are each lifted up in consciousness to the wholeness that we are. Right now, it's happening now. And I'm so grateful to know this truth, that yes, there is a power for good in the universe, and we're using it right now. We're using it. Yay. And so we breathe, we relax. And in such gratitude and appreciation, I simply release my word, which is powerful. I release it with faith, confidence, and trust, knowing that it is already done. We are exactly where we need to be, opening to our greater good right now. And so we do, and so we are, and so it is. Amen.